When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back, and oh boy, we are less than a week away from the start of the NFL season. Let's go! Right. We are just oozing with anticipation of the Dan Campbell era, just everything new going on in Detroit this season. We cannot wait to see how it unfolds. But before we get into that, I'm Big Z. Let's go around to the rest of the Blue Kool-Aid crew. We got Connor.
What's good?
Run Dog.
Yo.
UJ.
Hello, fans.
And Bob.
Hello.
All right, we got the whole crew here because we are doing our, man, is it, this is our fourth annual, right? Predictions.
I think so. I think four.
Yeah, this is our fourth time doing predictions for the NFL season. For the Detroit Lions, and we have a lot of thoughts. I think you can tell maybe by the name of the podcast where our predictions might trend, but maybe they won't. So tune in to the end of the episode to see. But we're going to go through a bunch of different categories here and just get our thoughts and probably talk about some of these guys that we talk about in the categories. But are you guys ready to get into some of our predictions?
Let's do it.
All right, gentlemen. So the first one I have is Rookie of the Year. And when I say these awards, I'm not saying for league-wide right now. We are just talking about the Detroit Lions. So out of all the rookies, the Detroit Lions have gone. This goes for drafted and undrafted. Who are your picks? We'll start with you, Bob. Who do you have in this category?
Let's see. The Rookie of the Year. I have Derek Barnes, our linebacker from Purdue. I think this guy's shown a lot in camp. I know Penny Sewell's the big pick, but you know, he's switching positions. He missed a year. I think Barnes is going to make an immediate impact and make a difference. So that's who I got for Rookie of the Year.
Did anybody else have Derek Barnes on their list? And why?
I did. He's mine too.
UJ, why do you have him?
He looks like he's ready to go right now. I mean, from what I've seen of him in the games, the preseason, this kid looks ready, and I think he's going to be a great contributor to this defense. He's going to stand out quite a bit. So, yeah, I think he's going to have a great year. So, yeah, definitely going with him.
Do we think he's a three-down linebacker to start
yes.
the season?
I hope
so. I do.
Oh, yeah.
I think he will be. I don't know.
He will. I don't think they're going to start him right away. But
yeah, I wouldn't expect to see him there on third downs a lot, but first and second down, I would expect to see him out there a lot more. Third down would be,
I don't know.
Be interesting.
I disagree with you, Z.
I'd say the other way around. I think he's going to be used more as a weapon early on to get after the quarterback on third downs.
Okay. Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see if they use him out or how they use him out there, especially at the beginning of the season, or they're going to work him in slowly. But I wouldn't be surprised if they gave him a bunch of work right away, though.
Yeah, why not?
Considering how he looked in the preseason. So, Rud Dog and Connor, you didn't say you had Derek Barnes, so let's go to you, Rud Dog. Who do you have for your Rookie of the Year?
I have Levi Onwuzurike. I think once he gets going, this kid's going to start tearing things up. Like, he's got that kind of rare first step and explosion on the inside that could really give teams fits, especially as the season goes on and he figures it out. I really think this kid could be something special. You know, I know it's crazy to say Aaron Donald, but that kind of an impact, maybe to a lesser degree, probably. But yeah, I think he's going to have a big year.
Do you think he puts up? So if I gave everybody four sacks over under, or that sounds like the right number, what would you say for
over.
Levi? Over? UJ, Bob?
Yeah.
I'm going to say he's going to get around five sacks. I'm going to say the over since the over-under was four.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bob?
I'll go the under. pessimistic.
Wow.
All right.
Wow.
Connor, what do you say?
Drink some more Kool-Aid.
I'll go over. I'll still get five.
Well, I set the over-under because I thought four would be the right number, so I'm going to stick with four. I think four is a good number, especially for a rookie. But if it's over, I'll be happy to be wrong about that number.
I'd be happy too.
but I expect him to use the. So before I get to my defensive MVP, Connor, who do you have? Or not defensive? Sorry, rookie of the year.
Rookie of the year. I have Amon-Ra St. Brown just because I think the wide receiver room is a pretty desolate place for the Lions right now, and I think this kid's really got a chance to shine and show us what he's got. I have big expectations from this year.
How big of expectations? How many receptions and yards do you think we're going to see out of him?
Oh man!
If I said four, let's do four, let's say 400.
Give me an over under.
450 yards.
Over. I think over.
Does anybody have under 450 yards?
For St. Brown?
Yeah.
No, over.
Over.
Put him right around there.
I think I'll get around 650 yards. It's my prediction.
Oh, wow. You're going big. Yeah. You're sticking with the rookie of the year. So, you know, you got to go big, baby.
You got to go big on rookie of the year.
I'm going to say he gets around 400. So I'm going to go slightly under just because I do think we have other weapons we're going to throw out there and he won't be the feature focus. We might get three or four catches a game. I don't see him having a 100-yard game this year or anything like that. That's why I think it's going to stack up. Although, I'm trying to consider stats in my head with a 17th game throw in, so maybe this number should be higher. But but 450 sounds maybe about right for a rookie wide receiver that is not the number one. Our clear number one is Tyrell Williams, right? Everybody agrees with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So our number two is what will be really fascinating in this offense. I think that's so wide open. Khalif Raymond seems like he might have it early on in the going, but then Kadarrell Hodge, Trinity Benson, the guy we traded for, Cephas, Tom Kennedy. Who knows what other wide receivers come along later in the year? This is just who we're starting with.
Seem so high on this Trinity Benson guy, mm-hmm. but we just haven't seen anything. They just got him, so I don't know. This kid could be the one.
Plus, Cephas is starting his Hall of Fame career. The Hall of Fame portion of it starts this coming year, so you got to watch out for him.
Yeah,
good point, Connor.
I don't think he's gonna lead anybody, but I'm glad Kennedy made it. I'm kind of interested to see what he does if he gets some key first downs for them. I don't think it'll have huge numbers, but I think he'll contribute now and then.
Absolutely,
40% of his catches are for first downs.
Mm. Is he going to feel like the Danny Amendola role, like the guy that just by little white guy that gets open on third downs and move the chains? we can get an end moment. So my rookie of the year is going to be Aleem McNeil. I think this guy showed a lot of good things in preseason. And for Levi Onwuzurike, Rud Dog, to have that type of rookie of the year season, I think Aleem McNeil will be the big reason why, because he's going to maybe have to take on a lot of double teams on the inside and allow Onwuzurike to get those one-on-ones from the three technique because McNeil will be dominating so much on the inside. I hope that's what happens. I don't know if it will. He's a rookie after all, but there's a lot of promise there. He's one of the freak athletes that we drafted here. That was my pick, at least, from just an impact standpoint.
Z, I was thinking about him, actually, and I didn't pick him, but I think that guy's going to be here for a long time. The staff seems really high on him, and a great nose tackle would be awesome.
We've been sorely missing a good nose tackle for a while in Detroit. So I think he's going to allow more freedom to rush off the edge too, taking those double teams on the inside, getting that guard to move over to center rather than help on the outside. And free up. I think it's just going to make a world of difference. If you have an inside rusher like that or a guy that can take on a double team, that's just huge for defense. Because last year our inside men were getting blown back. That's why I wasn't necessarily thrilled to see Nick Williams make the roster necessarily. I didn't think we saw a lot of him. Even Penasini, he's okay. I guess he's a decent rotational guy.
You've been waiting for him to get cut.
No disrespect to Penasini.
Yeah.
You always hate that one guy, Zach. This is that guy.
Every year, this one guy on the roster.
What did he ever do to you? What
did he do?
He didn't do anything. I think he's just slightly under mediocre, I guess. But I hope he proves me wrong. You know, I hope he improves this year.
Last year he would make a couple splash plays and then Z would pull out some stat line that makes him look bad for the game.
Yeah.
Anyway, move on.
I mean, hopefully a lot of these guys, you know, the big leap is in the second year when they're, you know, they don't have to go through the college draft. They get the whole offseason to work on their NFL body. So I'll be really fascinated to see if he can make that leap. Maybe he'll prove me wrong. I'd love to see it. That's for sure. So let's move on to the next category. That is defensive MVP. Offensive MVP.
Big category.
I just wanted to make a note. Nobody said Penei Sewell for the rookie of the year, which is interesting. I know you guys have been down on me for pointing out his flaws so far.
Yeah, you've been hating on him lately.
But I'm just saying it seems to have, you know.
No, I said when I was giving mine that he's changed positions. He's took a year off. He's going to take a little time. So that's all. I'd say he's going to be a Hall of Famer still.
Yeah. Okay. Progress takes time, Big Z. You're not going to magically be a Hall of Famer overnight.
I like his long-term prospects as well, but I'm just saying, do all of you have the same concerns that I've said out loud here to a degree?
No.
To a degree.
No.
Nope.
Not really.
No,
not at all.
Okay.
In fact, I think you need to double down on that Kool-Aid.
My concerns are only it'll be inconsistent throughout the year. We'll see some good, but some bad. But
as happens with rookies.
Anyways, offensive MVP. Let's go to this. Let's start with Connor. Who is your offensive MVP for the year?
I think the obvious choice is Hockenson, but I'm actually going to say DeAndre Swift just because I think the O-line's going to be dirty this year. I think he's due for a breakout second year, and I think we're going to be leaning much more on the run game than we ever could or ever chose to with Stafford. I think he's gearing for something good, something special, and I think this is the year he cements himself as a true top-tier running back in the league.
Do you think we see him get a lot of carries early on in the season, though?
So I think he's going to be splitting a lot more early in the season, but I think as the year goes on, I think we'll see him start to dominate the run game. That's just my opinion. I could be wrong. There's so much about this coaching staff we just don't even know yet. So it's all kind of speculation. I think early on he splits probably the first 3-4 games of the year, but I think after that he starts to run away with that RB1 role.
For sure. Did anybody else have DeAndre Swift? Is there an MVP? Ooh, all right. I like it. Rud Dog, who'd you have as your offensive MVP?
I'm going with Jared Goff. I think he's going to have a chip on his shoulder after the way things went down with the Rams. And I just think the Lions have actually done a good job of putting a lot of weapons around him, Hawk, Swift, but this receiving core, you know, it's not a lot of proven guys, but there's a lot of interesting talent. I think they're going to surprise people. And, you know, Goff will be right there at the middle of it all, making it work, especially as the O-line continues to get better. I just think he's going to have a great year. If he makes it to the playoffs, takes the Lions to the playoffs, I think, especially with the way everyone's treating us this year, acting like we're, you know, like bottom of the pile type of rebuild, I think he'll be a prime candidate for that MVP.
Absolutely. I don't know if you guys saw on ESPN today, they had like a predictions list of top offenses, lowest defenses, top defense. So they had the Lions as a bottom three defense and a bottom three offense, but a top 10 offensive line. So some love, I guess.
Cool.
Yeah. But nonetheless, not a lot of, like Rud Dog was saying, not a lot of respect. We can get in the over-under when we get into our season predictions, or like record predictions later. But Rud Dog, I'm curious. Jared Goff is your offense MVP, so what do you think his stat line will be? How many touchdowns does he throw this year? If I say 25.5 as the over-under.
I was going to say, well, that definitely over. I was thinking closer to 40.
Whoa.
40?
Hey, 40 touchdowns. Wow.
Yeah. Is this Kitna?
That's easy money. Easy money for you.
Now, Kitna threw 50.
Yeah, remember when Kitna said he wanted to throw 50 touchdown passes?
And he wasn't
How
even
many
a starter
did he throw that year? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he even, he didn't finish his starter.
Yeah. He probably threw like two that year, I'm guessing.
Does anybody say under 25 and a half touchdowns that he throws?
I paid under.
I'm going to say he throws 27.
You throw two a game, that's 36, or that's 30.
They do the extra
four.
Game. 34. Yeah.
So.
Oh, I keep forgetting about that extra game.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
All right. Barely over with the extra game.
Yeah, I would say maybe I should have upped it, I guess. But 26 is what I would say. That's my prediction. And then 4,000 yards, is that reasonable? Today?
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I think that's very reasonable and expected almost. Maybe like 4,500.
4,500 is really good. Even for a 17-game season, that's really good. Yeah. I think 290 around, like if you average around 290 for a 17-game season, that's 5,000 yards. So that's a lot of passing yards. Out of Goff.
I forget those 5,000-yard seasons aren't normal.
No, yeah. And
having Stafford do a couple was fun.
I know this is a little unrelated, but I just was talking to a Bears fan recently, and do you know the Bears have never had a 4,000-yard passer?
I did know that, actually, because I like to make fun of them for that all
did
the time.
Did you see their leading passer, their leading single-season passer? Eric Kramer.
Was it Grossman? Kramer?
Eric Kramer.
Oh. It was 3,800 and change, and that was like their best season.
Kind of crazy Jay Cutler never got to that.
I know. I was surprised.
So, UJ, who'd you have for your MVP, offensive MVP?
To me, the obvious one was Hawk. I think Goff is, you know, these receivers, he's not played with most of these guys. He's learning how they work and everything. He's going to need someone to lean on, and he's going to lean on Hockenson heavily. And Hockenson, I think, is ready to take that next step into elite territory. So I think he's going to lean very heavily on this guy. Trust him, count on him, and Hawk's gonna have a lot of catches, over 1,000 yards for sure. I don't know how many catches, but he's gonna be the main weapon in the passing game for this team.
By all accounts, Hockenson and Goff have been working just a ton in the offseason, even like a little after and before practices. So a lot of positive vibes there, at least going into the season, about the connection those two are gonna have.
Oh, absolutely. I'm really excited to see how Hawk does this year. I think he's just going to be spectacular. And in this age where tight ends are such an important weapon on teams, it's going to be really fun to have one of the elite ones on our team for a change.
Yeah, so that'd be great.
Absolutely. He's definitely worthy. It seems like he's trending towards worthy of that top 10 pick that we made him rather than the Eric Ebron signing or a draft that we had a few years ago. This is a big year for Hockenson in terms of proving if he can be in that elite status.
It's kind of fun watching him, some of these videos, him working out with Kittle and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
He just looks really good. He looks really ready, you know. And I'm comparing him and Kittle in these videos, and they don't look that much different even. I mean, the way they move, their quickness, change of direction, stuff like that. So I think he's getting there, man. He's getting to that elite territory right now.
Definitely. And I had Hockenson too as well, UJ. I just think he's the centerpiece of what this offense needs, especially from the passing game standpoint. He's going to have to take over the middle of the field, basically, to open up the outside. What the Lions do have is some speed on the outside, but that safety, the people over the middle of the field, they're not going to even hesitate to – I want them to – think about covering the middle and Hockenson to open up that outside deep passing game. And that doesn't happen without Hockenson kind of dominating the middle field and taking on one or possibly two guys over the middle. That just won't happen. So Hockenson going to need to be elite because that also goes back to Goff. If he is the MVP, Rud Dog, he's going to have to really show that he can throw downfield, something that he was a little maligned for leaving L.A., people don't know if that's more – that was McVay's scheme or Goff's indecision. That'll be interesting to see as we go on throughout the season. Yeah. Bob, who'd you have?
Yeah, I like – well, first of all, I'll be just saying the Goff thing. I do think he has a chip on his shoulder, and he's probably going to surprise people a little better because I don't think many people are expecting too much from him this year. That's his receiver room is garbage pretty much. But I also went with Hawk. I think that guy's ready to be a star on the national scene. And he puts himself in the conversation. He's not afraid of the pressure. And it'll be tough because our receiver room's so thin. I'm sure defense will be targeting Hawk, but I think our new coaches are going to find ways to get him the ball one way or another. So I think Hawk's ready to break out on the big stage. So Hawk for offensive player.
Absolutely. All right. So 3 for Hawk, 1 for Swift, and 1 for Jared Goff. That's our offensive MVP predictions. And now let's move on to the defensive side of the ball. This could go a lot of different ways. I'm excited to see what you guys have. Let's start with you, Rud Dog. Who'd you have as your defensive MVP?
I think this guy's going to take the next step this year and really cement himself as one of the elites, that being Romeo Okwara.
Mm.
I think by all accounts, he's just – the confidence is just swelling within him, and he's really dominating now at practice more than he even won last year with his 10-sack season. I think he's going to thrive in this new stand-up position on the outside, and I think he's going to be our difference maker up front, making sacks and pressuring the quarterback. So I think he's going to have a big year.
Absolutely. 10 sacks last year. What do you think he surpasses that this year?
Yeah, I think he does it by a handful. Mm. Maybe gets close to 15.
Oh, 15 sacks. Wow.
Puts himself in one of the elites.
I like it. I mean, what does everybody else think? Did anybody else have Romeo Okwara as your defensive MVP?
I did too. Yeah.
I believe he will be, but that's not the person I'm going to say. So.
Okay. UJ, just really quick on Romeo Okwara.
Yeah. Like Red Dog said, this guy's just swelling with confidence right now. I think he's going to be the tone setter for this whole defense. And now with our beefed up D-line, I think he's going to have even more opportunities to make sacks. So I do believe that he will beat his last year's total and somewhere between 12 and 15 sacks this year. He's going to definitely set the tone for this D, I'm telling you. This kid's ready to go. And he just got paid, too. And contrary to a lot of guys, this guy is more than living up to it so far. Obviously, we haven't seen a game yet, but practice in every other way, leadership, he's doing it all. So, yeah, I think he's definitely going to dominate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Connor, who'd you have then if you're leaning Okwara, but you're picking someone else?
I think Okwara will objectively be our best player, but this is kind of out of left field, but I think second-year cornerback out of Ohio State, Jeff Okuda, is
nice.
Going to be our defensive MVP this year. I think he got a really bad rap his first year. He was hurt for most of the year, and he had probably the worst coach in Lions history calling shots on D. And I don't think he really got a true look at his number one cornerback potential. And, I mean, he was a top five pick, and I think he's going to explode this year. And I'm really excited to see. And maybe I only say this because I think the expectations have been, like, dimmered for him a bit just because of last year. But I think he will show why we drafted him that high. And I'm excited to see it happen.
And I think you have to throw in the fact, too, you said new coach, which is part of the reason. But, I mean, longest time to throw for any quarterback in the NFL on average against the Lions. It was the longest. The Lions got after the quarterback slower than anybody else in the league. And that just hurts cornerbacks. I don't know if you guys ever heard the quote from the old Rams defense coordinator. He's now the head coach of the Chargers. But he said the best cornerback the Rams had on the team the last couple of years was Aaron Donald.
Oh, yeah.
Because the guy could just put pressure up the middle. And these quarterbacks only had to cover for like 2 seconds every time. So it makes the job just insanely easier. Just common sense. So
we can all agree on that. Yeah.
I think a better beefed up D line gives Okuda a chance to show his elite skills.
Yeah.
For sure. Can he make the play when it's thrown at him? We will see. For sure. But I think it starts at the front seven, and then if it works out like it should, then
a lot of the greats take a couple years to really get their legs under them. No,
I do agree with you though, Big Z. I think the pass rush is critical to our cornerback success this year, so we'll see.
Bob, who'd you have?
I know there's a lot of fun, shiny new toys on this team, but I went with the old veteran Trey Flowers. I think Trey Flowers is just a solid football player, and I think even on the bad teams when he's healthy, he's putting up decent numbers, and I think he seems energized with the new staff too, and I think he's gonna just have a great year. So I'm excited to see him. If he could stay healthy, you know, he knows where the ball's going. I mean, he can create turnovers, get to the quarterback. He does a lot of stuff. So
yeah,
Trey Flowers, my guy.
Trey Flowers is a guy I don't think we've really talked about much. Just because I don't think we know what to expect out of him in this defense, like where he's going to be lining up. I think it's going to be really fascinating because we didn't see him in the preseason either. So
yeah, they're talking about playing him as a linebacker or off the edge. So
as a big Patricia guy, you just don't know like what they're going to do with some of these guys.
Yeah, I just know he's a great athlete, and I think he's going to adapt to whatever they do.
He's our highest paid defender, so I would hope he could play at that MVP level. That's for sure.
One of his teammates says he covers like a cornerback out there.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with somebody that's probably way out of even more out of left field than you, Connor, in terms of Cuda. Because actually, I was kind of thinking of Cuda.
You're going to stage me up. All right.
But I'm going to drink the Kool-Aid, I think, with the coaching staff a little bit on this one, even though I've given him a lot of shit. Especially the past year, but maybe it's just because of the coaching staff. But this coaching staff really seems to like him and like him a lot more than any of us. That's Will Harris.
Oh, man.
I think Will Harris is going to step up in a big way this year and take the giant leap forward.
Wow.
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid on the coaching staff with Will Harris, and I think he becomes the impact safety that a guy like I can't remember his first name, Hill, the guy that ended up going to the Browns from the Rams, the safety. I can't remember his name for a little. I thought it was Josh Hill. I should have wrote the
that
name down.
That sounds right.
But either way, I think he has Johnson. Johnson, sorry. And I think he makes some big impact plays this year. I saw some things in the preseason, some decisiveness that we hadn't seen in the prior year. And I think he's going to make some big plays for us this year. He's going to be all over the field.
I think someone spiked your Kool-Aid,
dude. Yeah.
I love it, though. That's
funny. But see, I've been reading about him, too. Like, I thought it was interesting. He did so poorly last year, but you knew the coaching staff loved this guy. I'm like, they're seeing something in him. And then this new staff also loved this guy. So he's got to be doing something right.
Right.
And, I think they'll use him better. So he does have a chance to excel this year. I'd be excited for him to step up if he does.
Absolutely. All right. Let's go to – we have three more categories, and then we get to the record. So really quick, what will be the vibe of this team by the end of the season? What do you predict the vibe will be? Is it Super Bowl victory? Is it just like we get some big, meaningful wins but not make the – just really quick, what will the vibe be? Let's start with you, UJ.
Well, let's see. I think this is going to be a team with a bullet pointing straight up. You know what I mean? An arrow pointing straight up. But I think this team, it might take them a while to gel. But once they do, it's going to be sky's the limit for this team. And I think they're going to believe it. They're going to start believing. So I don't think, well, whatever happens at the end, I think it'll be very positive going into next year. So, if you're just talking about the general vibe, I say, yeah, they're buying in. I think these teams are going to love each other. They're going to play for each other, this coaching staff. And so, yeah, very positive vibe, I'm saying.
Connor.
I would agree with that. I mean, I think early on in the year, there's going to be a lot of frustrations with this team. But I think regardless of the record this year, I think by the end of the year, we will see what is being built and we will be hopeful.
Absolutely. Bob?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a positive vibe. I think last year the vibe went south towards the end, especially. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone's excited for a fresh start. And people seem to be pulling on the same rope so far. And I think it's going to continue. And they've got that little attitude that Campbell's trying to build. They don't chip at each other in practice even. But I think they love each other. And I think it's going to be an exciting year. I mean, as far as building camaraderie.
Absolutely. I think, the vibe by the end of the season is maybe they win, maybe they lose. I mean, we're not getting to really the record as much right now with this question. It's just more the feeling. And this is just a team that's going to, under Dan Campbell's leadership and the new leadership of Spielman at the top, is a team that's just going to fight to the very end. This is not a team like we saw in Carolina last year that just like looked like the Walking Dead and lost 20 to nothing. You're not going to see that out of this team at all. You're going to see a team that's at least willing to fight all 60 minutes of the game. And that's, I think, going to reverberate and be like the culture shock that we needed. Rud Dog?
I think this team's going to be just what Dan Campbell said it's going to be. This team's going to, you know, no matter what happens, if they get knocked down every time they come up, they're going to take a kneecap off the other team. And, you know, eventually they'll be the last one standing. So, yeah, I think the vibes are going to be very positive and very strong at the end of the season, especially when we win the Super Bowl. It's going to be really hard for them to be kind of down. So, you know, there's that.
All right. So my next question is, will Austin Siebert be our kicker by the end of the season? You know, we don't spend too long on this. Just maybe a quick yes, no. We'll start with you, Connor.
I'm going to say no.
UJ?
I'm going to say no, too.
Rud Dog?
I'm going to go with no.
Bob?
I'm going to go with yes.
Yeah!
Drinking the Kool-Aid.
I'm going to say no as well, but I'm just curious what everybody thought about our kicker situation.
We were getting made fun of so much for cutting both of them. Like, yeah. Nationally, though, they're making fun of the Lions.
I don't know what to make fun of, or they just like the new direction. Maybe like the Lions are seeing way in the future. Like, people think kicking is going by the wayside in the NFL in general. Like, kickoffs are going to be gone and stuff. So maybe the Lions are just they're forward thinking. They're just getting rid of the kicker position altogether. But no, I think we'll go through some up and downs at that position, unfortunately.
Did anyone see the Jack Fox's response to people asking him if he can kick field goals?
Oh, yeah, that video of him missing all the field goals in high school.
Yeah.
That's very funny.
That's hilarious.
Oh, yeah, that was a really great response. So my next question is, who do you think – so right now, you know, everybody's starting at even, but by the end of the season – even if you let's say you don't own any jersey, what is the jersey you will want to buy most by the end of the season of any Lions player? I think that's an interesting one. So maybe it's a popularity thing with you. Maybe it's just so. Bob, which jersey would you want to buy most, do you think, by the end of this season?
Well, I don't know. I'd go with probably an Okuda jersey. That guy's gonna be around here for the rest of his career, probably, or for a good portion. Like to buy a jersey with some legs, because if you buy a Goff jersey, you might have to get rid of it in 2 years. So unless you're Rud Dog, he's probably getting a Goff jersey MVP.
Yeah, Rud Dog, so. You can get a Goff jersey by the end of the season.
No, I'm not really like the quarterback jersey type guy. I'm thinking more like a Derek Barnes. You know, like I never got a Levy jersey, but I would have loved to.
That would have been a cool jersey.
Yeah, and I think Barnes could be on Levy's level for us, and I'm very excited about his potential going forward. You know, I just love that fast playmaker linebacker type. It's just one of my favorite things to watch in football.
For sure. Connor.
I want it to be Goff because that means he popped off this year. I think the safe bet for me would be Hockenson, just because I think he'll probably – steal the show on offense a lot, and he's very popular with the team. So
yeah,
I'll say Hockenson.
I'll go Hockenson as well. I just because I do think he'll have the most notoriety of anybody on the team by the end of the season. He has the personality as well that makes you happy that you made your purchase. Like, you think he'll be around for a while. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm leaning. UJ?
Oh, that's easy. Tom Kennedy. Yeah. To go to with my Zach Center jersey.
And Jace Billingsley.
I want to be. You know, I believe in the underdog, man. Believe in the underdog. And these guys worked their butts off to get there. No one expected them to. So, yeah, Tom Kennedy.
Absolutely. Awesome. All right. So now let's get into it. The prediction for the Detroit Lions record this season. I'm really curious where you guys will go with this. So, Connor. Let's start with you. Are you going to be drinking the Kool-Aid on the Lions season this year?
as much as I want to say we're going to win a Super Bowl, I think I might temper my expectations.
I do. Let me point out, too, the over-under in Vegas for the Detroit Lions right now is 4.5. But they have the most bet over in Vegas right now.
So... my prediction you all will hate me, but I think people in Vegas would think I'm crazy the other way. I think they're going to finish 8-9 this year.
Okay.
I think we're going to have some really rough periods early on in the season. I think we might lose our first three games. But I think this team's going to start to figure it out, and they're going to start building something. And by the end of the year, we're going to be so jazzed up, we don't even care we missed the playoffs. So 8-9 is my final prediction for the Lions this season.
And Connor, I should point out, and this is for our listeners as well, the Lions are the third toughest schedule in the NFL. That's true. Off records from last year. Let me just go over their schedule really quick. So home against the 49ers, at Packers on Monday Night Football. The rest of these besides Thanksgiving, by the way, noon. not much prime time for the Lions. Home against the Ravens, at Chicago, at Minnesota, home against the Bengals, at LA Rams, home against the Eagles, at Steelers, at Browns, then home for the Bears on Thanksgiving, home for the Vikings, then at Denver, home for the Cardinals, at Atlanta, at Seahawks, and home for the Packers. So that is a tough schedule, without a doubt. A lot of top defenses, a lot of former playoff teams. So let me throw this over to Bob now.
Yeah, well, that schedule thing is a little overblown, I think. I know the Bears mentioned about that too, but they're a tough schedule. But, you know, if you're in the NFL, you're going to win, you got to beat everybody, so it doesn't matter. But the Lions, obviously, rebuild this year. I did bet the over on the 4.5, and but I, being a Kool-Aid drinker, I cannot pick a losing season. So I'm going to go with 9-8.
All right.
Wow. Yeah. Winning record. Does that make even squeak into a wild card with that?
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
There is seven. There's seven wild card spots. So, yeah. Or seven teams make the playoffs. I'm sorry. So let's go to Rud Dog. What do you got? Your prediction?
Yeah. I mean, I think every one of these games looks pretty winnable, honestly. I mean, yeah, there's some tough teams and blah, blah, blah. But I think we got a pretty good chance in all these games. But, you know, I'll be somewhat realistic when I – my prediction here. I think we win 11 games and only lose six games. So, 11 and 6 in our first year.
All right.
With a playoff bid. And I think we beat the Packers in the last game of the season to take the division.
All right. Wow. How far do we go into playoffs then?
I mean, the Super Bowl is the answer. So,
all right.
I know we're going all the way, but yeah, Super Bowl.
Sorry. Sure. Maybe I'm jumping to category two in front, I guess. all right, man. All right. UJ, what do you got?
Okay. I'm going to kind of agree with Bob here. I'm going to go 9-8. I think, all the prognosticators are not giving the Lions any kind of chance at all. But we have a very, very, very young team. And these guys don't know they're supposed to suck, you know. So they're going to go out there and they're going to be playing really hard. And they're going to surprise a lot of people, I think. I really do. So it might be, I think the early going, it might be a little rougher. But, I think they come out, build some momentum. You have a nice 9-8 record. And if they do eke into the playoffs, look out for this team. That's all I'm saying.
All right. I like it. So I had 7-10, I think that's a good record to me. I mean,
that's an
I,
optimistic I, look.
I know it's not playoffs, but
what's the name of this podcast?
I know a lot of people would think drinking the blue Kool-Aid is a 7-10 record compared to, you know, what the rest of the nation sees us at.
True.
So it depends, I guess, how you define drinking the blue Kool-Aid sometimes. And I think this would be drinking blue Kool-Aid because I think these seven – this is a tough schedule. There's no doubt about it. And I think this team is going to see a lot of big steps forward, and next year is when we really start competing for that playoff spot. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope Rud Dog is right, you know, like Super Bowl aspirations this year. I would love to see nothing more, trust me. And we'll probably predict a victory every week, honestly, on this podcast.
We probably will.
But nonetheless, I do have 7-9 just because I want to try to be exactly right.
7-9
or 7-10. Sorry, 7-10, 7-10. So that's where I'm at. So I'm sorry if I disappointed the blue Kool-Aid aholics out there.
See, I'm just thinking of the little kids who listen to this podcast. They're like, say it ain't so, Z. Say it ain't so.
If Big Z doesn't believe in us, who will?
Don't listen to that man, little Joey.
So, gentlemen, just before we wrap this up, two more categories, just the league-wide in general. Who will win MVP for this season in the NFL? Who do you have? I can guess maybe Connor and Bob and
probably
mine too, honestly.
Matthew Stafford.
I had Matt Stafford as well. He is 16-1 is his odds. There's 18-1 depending 18 or 16-1 about depending on where you find it, which I think is really good value. But I do have him as the MVP for the NFL this season. I don't know if Rud Dog or UJ had anyone different.
When I said my MVP for our offense, I was also implying that Goff would win the MVP for the league as well.
All right, there it is. Bob's holding up his bet that he made in Vegas for Stafford. What odds did you get those at, Bob?
What is it here? plus 1,800.
Oh, okay, 18-1 then. Nice.
That's not bad.
Yeah,
it's hovered around there too. UJ, did you have anybody like Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes?
Really, really old guy, Tom Brady.
Ah. Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing what he's been able to do. He's going to be 44.
I know. It's incredible. That's what I'm going with.
Crazy. But the last one I wanted to say is Super Bowl predictions. Who do you think will win the Super Bowl this year?
Well, hey, Z, you've got to qualify this. Okay, we're assuming now that the Lions aren't going to be in it, right?
Yes.
In this exercise.
Yes.
This
is assuming that the Lions do not make the Super Bowl. Who would you have?
I don't care about this exercise.
The Bills. The Bills are going to win the Super Bowl this year.
Okay. That's my prediction. You have the Bills?
Yep.
UJ,
Josh
did you have?
It's going to pop.
Well, yeah. I got the Bills and Tampa being in the Super Bowl. Mm. I think that's going to be the matchup. And, boy, it's a toss-up as who wins it. But I'll go with Tampa again. I'm going to go with the old man Brady and Tampa again.
What podcast is this again?
This is without the Lions.
Why?
It's just an exercise.
You have the Lions win the Super Bowl, Rud Dog. I could see that. You don't have to partake in the exercise if you don't want
it's
to.
A disturbing exercise.
Bob, yeah. Who'd you have?
I'm going to go with the Chiefs. Mm. Chiefs, Mahomes. He's going to cement his legacy early.
He's overrated.
The all-time greats. Probably. But.
Overrated.
And I would have the Browns winning the
Super
Bowl.
I was
going to
say the Browns. Browns, too, since we're doing this demented game.
I can't handle a Browns Super Bowl. Someone else has to win it.
Yeah, there's got to be other teams to press along with our history, right? They can't just leave us alone.
Yeah, no.
even no one's history compared to ours, though, even if it's the Browns. yeah. I think we made all our predictions we need to right now on this podcast. But, man, exciting stuff. Later this week, we will have an episode previewing week one of the NFL season. That's right. It's here. It's coming this Sunday where the Lions will be hosting the San Francisco 49ers. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Twitter at Drinking Lions. Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, please download and please subscribe. We'd love to see a review as well. We'd really appreciate the feedback. Anything you give, positive or negative, it's all right. We believe it's all in good faith. So thank you, everybody, for listening. We look forward to the upcoming season and look forward to our preview later this week. And last but not least, as always, go!
Go!
Go.
Down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Go.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.